Today, Darren continues our series in Matthew chapter 13, Parables, Truths of the Kingdom Revealed, with a message called The Kingdom Easily Overlooked. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13 as we dig into God's Word together.
Thank you for the time we have to gather and just be reminded of those incredible truths that Michael was sharing of just this ancient thing called communion, and yet it has and holds powerful reality for us, that we would be partaking of something that has the emblems that truly has marked the cross with blood and your body broken for us. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to do that weekly and to be reminded of that potent and powerful truth. And Lord, we also just pray as you speak through your word, Lord, would I be able to get out of the way and just allow your Holy Spirit to speak into our hearts and minds through these parables this morning, and the opportunity we have just to engage in your word with freedom and confidence. And I just pray, Lord, that you would be with us to empower us with that encouragement this morning. And Lord, we continue to be mindful of the wildfires that plague Oregon and around our country, and we just lift up those firefighters who are just faithfully working night and day to keep us safe, and we just pray for those who are just dealing with devastation of their homes and so many other animals and other layers to this, Lord. I just pray that you would be working despite the tragedies and hardships, and would you put it upon our hearts of knowing how to best respond accordingly. So with that, Lord, we go before you this morning with our eyes and our hearts centered around your word, and I pray that you would speak, and we ask that in Jesus' name. And all the church said, amen. All right, well, I want to welcome you into the series. So we're going to be looking at a couple of parables this morning, but before we do that, I kind of want to set the stage. And so many of you know I enjoy hiking around and have since high school, love nature and being out and about. How many of you here in Wallowa County love the same things? Right, you can't kind of live or be in Wallowa County without at least enjoying or appreciating some of that, right? And let me share with you, like every time we do backpacking trip, there's always a destination of mine, a waterfall, a peak of some degree, a lookout, maybe, you know, a stream to go fishing in or a lake. These are the kinds of things I'd always plan a backpacking trip around. Now, again, are you guys tracking with me? Right, like you usually go to a destination of some kind, and that's what you're thinking. So I remember just this last June, early June, a friend of mine and I took a trip down the Wenaha River, and so we actually pack raft in, and so we carried our boats on our backs, and then we floated the river. And one of the things that was unique about this trip compared to other trips is I found myself slowing down and admiring and looking at things that I, in years past, would just walk right by. You know, so basically I started taking pictures. Now, keep in mind, these are not pictures that I took, and I'll tell you why here in a second. But, you know, you look at these pictures, and you see the granular detail of a blue, beautiful flower that you would think, well, that's a nice blue flower, and just keep on going, because why? That's not the destination, right? My destination is a lake that I want to go fishing in, or the mountaintop that I want to go look out, right? But when this trip, I was pausing more and noticing detail in flowers that I hadn't really noticed before. And the same is true with leaves and other scenery that I would have. And part of the reason why I didn't want to show you the pictures that I actually took is because it didn't do it justice. My old GoPro that I have, and as I was like trying to zoom in, wouldn't focus in and show you the granular detail that I wanted to kind of highlight this morning. So I took these off the internet, right? But the reason why is because I wanted to show you those details. I wanted to highlight for you something that is so beautiful and yet is so easy to overlook, right? And, you know, if I had a camera that had that kind of high definition, I probably would, but that's actually part of the reason why many of us do buy those nice HD TVs, right? Or the OLED TVs, right? A lot of definition, a lot of clarity. We want to see all the detail. Keep that in mind as we look at these two parables today. Because even though, yes, we're talking about hiking, and yes, we're talking about TVs and pictures and all the details, what Jesus is talking about today are the littlest things, mustard seeds and yeast, things that are easily overlooked, things that are not a big deal, And yet the granular detail, what Jesus highlights for us today, I think, is what matters. And I want to relate that to all of us, because I think often it's easy to do that with the kingdom of heaven, which is why I think Jesus spends some time reminding us of the little things actually are big things in the kingdom of heaven. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to chapter 13. We're going to begin looking at verse 31, and he gives this illustration. And let's go ahead and read this together. Here is another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest in the garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nest in its branches. So that's one parable that he gives, and then he moves to another one, similar in nature. Jesus also used another illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman used in making bread, even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. And then Jesus does something here. Actually, really, it's Matthew recording about Jesus, what Jesus, and why he was doing this. And I think for you and I, this is a verse that's easy to kind of read over, but I found it particularly insightful because Matthew recognizes this. In verse 34, Jesus always used stories and illustrations like these, indicating that perhaps there are even more parables that Jesus uses that he didn't record, right? But stories like these, when speaking to crowds, in fact, he never spoke to them without using such parables. And then Matthew reminds us that David's worship leader, Asaph, who is recorded in Psalm 78, verse 2, this fulfillment, that I will speak to you in parables, I will explain things hidden since the creation of the world. Now, we're going to unpack some of this morning, but a couple of things I want us not to be tripping over. The first thing is, it says in verse 34 here that Jesus always used these kinds of parables, and then Matthew even says that he never spoke without using these kinds of parables. Now, keep in mind, what's his audience? There are people on this hillside that day that are believers. You got the disciples who are all in with Jesus. You got some that are kind of like on the fence. They're interested to see what Jesus will do and will say, but not still kind of making up their mind. And then you got the Pharisees who are like, hate Jesus, cross-armed. We've talked about this throughout the series, okay? So keep in mind, like, that's what Matthew is referring to. In these crowd moments where there's a mixed crowd of people, Jesus would use these parables to speak to the audience. But that doesn't mean that he didn't speak clearly, right? There are other teachings that Jesus was teaching in the synagogues. There was times when, even a couple weeks ago, we looked at the explanations of these parables where Jesus would take his disciples into a private room and then they would explain those things. And so it isn't that Jesus would never do that, but it was more about this picture. And Jesus would tell these stories because he wanted this crowd of people, this mixed crowd of people, to see something that they otherwise wouldn't see. It's almost like he wants us to slow down and look at something. This is where I wanted to begin with my hiking story. To us, we would slow down and look at something that is so precious and valuable and yet often so easily overlooked. That's why we've been talking about these soils a couple weeks ago. We talked about wheat and weeds last week, and now we look at the size of things here. And each of those parables are explaining things hidden since the creation of the world. I think that's awfully powerful. And maybe, if anything, that helps us pause and think about what Jesus is really saying. And again, this idea of this curated, purposeful, like Matthew is writing these things down, and I think that is true, because the kingdom of heaven is often missed or minimized by the world. Maybe for you and I, right, there's this reality that as we're hiking, right, it's not like I intentionally was trying to miss the flowers. I wasn't just ignoring them. I would say, oh, yeah, that's a pretty white flower. Oh, yeah, that's a neat something. But that's not my destination. That's not where I want to stop at. I want to go to that waterfall. That's really cool. And walk right past it. So I would minimize in my own heart, that flower is not worth stopping and looking at because I have something bigger in mind. Right? Or the other side, maybe you've done this before, maybe a hike you've done 10, 12 times, and it was that 12th time, not the first time, that 12th time, that you finally saw the thing that you've overlooked I don't know how many times. Different illustration. We were coming back from Lewiston yesterday, and there was a house that was tucked into the woods that we'd driven by at this point probably dozens of times, and it was just this time, from the angle that I was driving, that I was like, oh, wow, look at that house tucked in the woods. I'd never noticed that before. We drive by things all the time, but we've never actually noticed it. And again, I think we often do that when it comes to the kingdom of heaven and these things that perhaps are much bigger than we really give them credit for. And so as we look at this in thinking about the kingdom of heaven, right, and this mustard seed idea, there was a person that one time came to me, and I was preaching this text, and they said, well, Pastor Darren, did you know that the mustard seed isn't actually the smallest seed in the world? Did you know that? Can Jesus really be trusted here? I mean, is this really, he clearly didn't know. I mean, if he created everything, he should have known what's the smallest seed there is, right? And I can't remember what it was. Listen. Let's not be derailed by how it's a parable, not a botany lesson, okay? And so, I had to calm that lady down, and it was fine. She was okay. But it was kind of like she was really stirred up by this. And I was like, look, no. Understand, small things become big things. That is at least in part of the parable. And that's often where we go. All right, the kingdom starts small, and then it grows big. And that's both parables, the yeast, same thing, into this big loaf of bread. Okay, we can get that, but let's take it a little bit deeper, because I think what else Jesus is doing here, notice these words, tree, birds, and branches. These are not the first time that a Galilean would have heard these words before. And if you do a little bit of Old Testament digging, you actually find some parallels to this in the Old Testament. So it goes from a gardening example now to something that is very image-rich for these Galileans to think about. One example is, like in Ezekiel chapter 7, God takes a tender little sprig, plants it in the high mountain, and it becomes this noble cedar, and then all the birds go and rest in its branches. And that's talking about the coming king of David's line. Ezekiel 31 would be another one. The Assyria picture of the towering cedar, and all the great nations live in its shade, the birds nesting in its boughs. Daniel 4 is another one. Nebuchadnezzar's tree, right, reaching to heaven, and the birds of the air are living in its branches. So there's this parallel that these Galileans are hearing something very similar to what this parable is saying. And this is kind of like messianic talk. This is like empire talk. This is like something small grows something big, and we really want to be a part of this thing. And you could think of like as trigger words, right? When my three-year-old son and I say, hey, Luke, there's a plane, and he drops everything, and his eyes go directly into the sun. Where, Dad? Where? He's so excited to go see the plane. I can only imagine in the audience that day, these words are trigger words. Their heads perk up. Their ears, wait. Tree, bird, I've heard this stuff before. And again, as the American reading our Bible, we can often kind of overlook some of these details that I think Jesus is really trying to highlight for us here. Because the truth is, well, what's the small thing? What's the mustard seed? When you think about where Jesus' ministry is at this point, I mean, yes, it's growing, but it's still a rural rabbi, okay, hanging out with 12 working guys, mostly fishermen in a borrowed boat talking on the seashore. That's the mustard seed. That's this little thing that is still growing and being developed. And you can begin to kind of wonder if people there are still like, is this really the kingdom of heaven? Is this really what we're to be leaning into? And I think that for many of us, perhaps, that's a thing, right? The kingdom of heaven always starts smaller than we think it should. Maybe for some of us, we need to take heart in that, like to recognize, like, that's okay, and perhaps maybe that's intentional. I'm looking here at Chuck Short. Many times, he's told me this illustration, so I didn't ask him permission, but I'm going to give it anyway, right? He's told me he goes out to his tomato patch. He's a big gardener, right? He goes out, and he plants his tomato seed, and he plants it, and he said, I can't go out the very next day and expect to go pick tomatoes, even though he's planted a tomato seed. It takes time. I might even take days or even weeks for any little sprout to show. But you go out there in a month, go out there in 2 months, all of a sudden you can really see the fruit. This is the idea here, right? Small things grow big. And I want to encourage you the same way that Paul encouraged the church in Galatia. Because he was saying, let's not get tired of doing what is good. Why? Because often doing what is good, doing what is right, doing what is honorable before the Lord gets wearisome. But he says, at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Parents and grandparents, keep investing in your kids and your grandkids. Right? Like keep loving on those hard-to-love coworkers. Keep speaking truth with actions of love and grace. Right? This is those little mustard seeds of the kingdom of heaven. And guess what? When you and I do those kinds of things, we get to participate in the kingdom of heaven and helping it grow and watered and fertilized and all those good things. But let's keep also in mind here, going back to the parable, what Jesus is saying, the kingdom of heaven, right? Yeah, it may start small, but let's understand something. It grows big enough, not big enough for the branches and for the actual branch or the plant itself, has a purpose. It grows so big that birds can make a home and rest and nest in its branches. Right? Here's a black mustard tree. Right? These things grow about 8 to 10 feet tall, depending on the area that they're going to be in. And a tree like this is going to be large enough for birds to be able to land in, okay? So this is kind of the image in which Jesus has in mind. And what I love about this is we often think, okay, big, or a small mustard seed, big kingdom of God. Got it. But the real purpose of what he's saying here isn't the size, is the purpose behind that it doesn't just grow big for the bush's sake, it grows to make room for someone else, for something else to be able to rest in. And I think for us, I think what he's telling us here is like the size of the beginning tells you nothing about the purpose in the end. Like, you know, so that means for you who might be dealing with a hard season of life right now, like, you know, we've heard that phrase, big things come in small packages, okay? A seed in the ground, just like those tomato seeds, right? A seed in the ground looks like it's doing nothing. There's no evidence of anything happening. You have to give it time to grow, right? Like, be encouraged. Like, small is not the same thing as stalled. And I feel like in the littlest ways that we live out our lives, we think, well, it's not that big a deal. It's not making really that big of a difference. I'm exhausted as a stay-at-home mom trying to take care for these kids. Is this really time well spent? Right? Like, I'm trying to love on this coworker, but it doesn't seem to really get it. Is this really worth it? Right? We begin to question and doubt kind of like these things and be encouraged. Okay, these are the little mustard seeds that I think when we plant them, we're participating in the kingdom of heaven's work. Okay. So we're going to put a pin in this parable and move on to the next one, and then we'll kind of put all this together because there are some parallels that I want to highlight, but there's definitely some differences as well. So moving on to verse 33, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a yeast the woman uses to make bread. Even though she's putting only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeates the whole dough. Interesting that he's not just talking about bread here. And actually, when he uses the word yeast, I can only imagine that Galilean crowd, if they had a little bit of Bible knowledge, would have probably flinched a little bit. And the reason why is because yeast is often used as a warning word for, like, bad things. All right? So like, at Passover, you searched out the leaven in the house. Every crumb of it, and that was the whole point, you didn't want the yeast to be there. Jesus himself later actually describes the Pharisees who have been plotting to kill Jesus as the yeast, right? Like, to be cautious. He tells the disciples, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees. And then even Paul uses that. A little yeast works through the whole batch, and he means that as a warning. And that's why they flinch. Because if I'm reading this right, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast? Huh? Like, wait, I thought yeast was bad stuff. Why are you saying the kingdom of heaven is like bad stuff? That doesn't make any sense. And so again, the hearer leans in to understand what is going on. And I think that's part of this whole idea here. And so as we look at, leaven itself isn't evil. In fact, in Leviticus, there's actually a reference here to coming and giving bread, leavened bread, as an act of worship. And the important reality is not the substance. What Jesus is getting at here is what? The process. How does yeast work? What is the whole idea around this thing? Just like the mustard seed, this tiny little thing works all the way through the mass, producing something larger. Now, it would be easy for me to say, okay, that's it, the kingdom of God, small, big, all right, worship team, come on up, we're done, right? That's easy. But again, that's not the whole picture, because when you dig a little bit deeper, you see the NLT actually, I love the NLT translation, that's the one I use the most here when preaching, but this word used, the woman used in making bread, that Greek word actually means to be hidden in. And so I'll just give you a few references of some other translations you might be looking at in your own Bibles here. The NLT uses the word used. The NIV uses the word mixed in. ESV, NASB, King James Version, they use this phrase hide in, to hide. The woman hid this stuff in this three measures of flowers. And the only reason I'm talking about it isn't just that she used it, but it's like buried into the mixture. It's buried in, it's pushed in and mixed around, so it's all throughout the dough, okay, this bread that she's making. But one of the interesting things that I found this week as I was reviewing this text was the three measures of flour, and some of you Bible scholars in here might know this already, but this three measures of flour actually is referring to something like a 50-pound bag of flour. I've always read this as like, this is like a little loaf, little family loaf. Yeah, we'll have some lunch and make some sandwiches kind of loaf. A 50-pound like thing of flour? That's what the seiya is, that Greek word. That's what that would be, is roughly about 50 pounds of flour. This isn't like a family loaf. This is like a loaf that'll feed hundreds of people. And that kind of helps put it in perspective again. Little thing impacts something so much larger. And then what does it do? It permeates. It permeates every part of the dough. All 50 pounds of this dough, not just part of it. And I think that's a lesson that Jesus is trying to communicate to us here, that these little things, right, they don't just add to our life. They're going to transform it. They're going to work their way all the way through. And even though we're talking about gardens and kitchens, that's the whole thing, right? We're moving through this, right? You can begin to. Have you ever made bread before? All right, you ever use yeast before? And how does it work? Again, those, you can't just, you know, work it all in and then go and make bread. You have to what? Put it in a bowl, let it sit on the counter. And you can't even, like, I mean, you could time-lapse it with your GoPro, right, and, like, watch it go, and there's probably pictures of that. But if you just stood there and waited for that dough to rise, you're going to be there for a little while, and you're going to kind of barely see it working, right? Maybe. But you let it sit for half a day, and you come back, that bowl is overflowing. That's the picture that Jesus gives. It's the same reason why, when I think about my early years of pastoring to, you know, 15 years later, same reason why I don't pastor the same way I did then as I do now. It's the same reason why when you think about your early days of being a Christian and you had just very little Bible knowledge, and maybe you spent some time growing in your faith and you're not the same believer that you were then as you are now. Same reason why your marriage has grown from the wedding day you say I do to then later on, 40, 50, 60 years later. Your love has grown, it's blossomed, it's different than it was then. It permeates. It's something that begins to touch every part of your life. And I want to encourage you again with this, but Philippians 1, I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ returns. Look who does the work here. God begins it. God continues it. God finishes it. We're participants in this work, but he's the one doing the work within us. This is the picture of the kingdom of heaven. Which means, this is to be encouragement for all of us here, to recognize, like, there might be the most important work that God's doing might be work that you can't even see yet. When you go back in time, yeah, there are big moments in life. There are big, you know, you could say those mountaintop moments or maybe those really dark valley moments, and maybe you can point to a few specific things, but when you think about all the days of your life, many of them are very ordinary kinds of days. And you begin to say, well, that ordinary day wasn't very special, and that ordinary day wasn't special. But the truth is, that's the yeast. Every ordinary day, it wasn't one ordinary day, it's 10,000 ordinary days that begin to create your life. It fills your life. The decisions you make in and through those days and the culture that you surround yourself with is a part of this reality. So would you take heart, would you be encouraged that, yeah, like the kingdom of heaven will always start smaller and be itty-bitty, probably even more so than what we'd ever bet on ever being fruitful, but ends larger than I think any one of us could dare to hope. And as I said, okay, all right, so small to big, that's the kingdom of heaven. And so these two stories, and kind of one point, but there's one more layer to this that I want to take, and that's like when you look at these stories as a whole, it's interesting, do mustard seeds grow outside or inside? They grow outside. You plant it outside, and it grows outside. But interestingly enough, the yeast, where does that get planted? That's on the inside of the dough. And it works all the way through. And so within these same parables, I have two different questions for us that I want us to reflect on this morning. The first one is, how is the kingdom of heaven at work in your outward life? Let me just take this even again historically. Go back in time with me. Go back in time to your parents and your grandparents. People who held your hand and took you to church. Maybe it wasn't parents or grandparents. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was a neighbor. Maybe it was someone else who really helped impact your life in that way. See, just as much as those birds nest in the tree, you and I, when we look in the past, have had a tree that we've nested in. There are seasons in life where people have brought shade into our life, brought protection into our life, and have helped fostered us in the faith. We get to celebrate that. We get to say thank you to them for that. But now we move forward to present day and to the future. As we continue to see our mustard seed grow and we participate in the kingdom of heaven's work here on earth, who's finding rest in your branches? How was the gospel effect in your life, creating shade and rest for others? How is the kingdom of heaven at work in your outward life? How has it been? How is it? How will it be in the future? Is it shade and rest for your kids and your grandkids? Is it maybe those neighbor kids down the street? Is it that, again, that hard-to-love coworker? Who is it, through your faithfulness and walking with Christ, who is experiencing the kingdom of heaven right here, right now? And then the inward question that we need to ask, how is the kingdom of heaven at work in your inward life? Because I think here's where the two really come together. You cannot be shade for someone without first having that yeast hidden within your life. Right? Like the yeast needs to be at work in your life before that tree will ever grow. Now we're just blending the two completely, right? But you're tracking, hopefully. All right, so underneath everything this morning, like, where is God at work in you right now? And let's ask that honest question. Maybe we've been so busy on the destination. We've been so busy thinking about what's in front of us, or maybe our head down on the trail, that we're missing what's over here. And we're missing this beautiful thing that God's doing over here. or we haven't looked up over here in a while. Maybe the answer to this question is actually work that we haven't even identified yet. Because it's so slow. It's hard to see. It's not a quick thing. And I just want to encourage you again with that. Like, let's not, just like how I meet quick to walk past, you know, wildflowers and whatever other cool things are in nature, let's not do that here. That's why I think Matthew says what he says about these parables of what Jesus is telling us. It's the same thing what Matthew says. Don't miss this. He says Jesus is explaining things that have been hidden since the creation of the world. Don't miss it. And I'm convinced that God is at work, even here this morning, revealing these hidden truths that perhaps you've been walking by all of your life. And he says, not today. Let me reveal to you something that you've thought to be so insignificant. And God says, it's eternal. Something that the world laughs at. That's just a small mustard seed. That's not a big deal. But look what it can produce. Rest. Comfort. Peace. A home. It's just a small pinch of yeast. But yet stirred in can feed hundreds of people when used properly. I think Jesus knows exactly what small thing, what little yeast or what little mustard seed is appropriate in your life. And he's at work, and the kingdom of heaven is actually at work in your life here and now, even through the ordinary moments of your day. And we would just maybe pause and reflect and consider what God is doing. All right, don't make small what God plans to make big. And don't make insignificant what God has made eternal. And so wherever you are this morning, some of you are resting in the shade of another person. Maybe you need to go to them and thank them and appreciate them for what they're doing in your life. Maybe others of you need to recognize that, you know what, you've been blessed, you've been resting in the shade, and maybe it's time for you to be the shade for other people, to take a next step in leadership and to grow and really reach out in boldness and courage in your faith. Maybe for some of you this morning, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven are being revealed to you all anew. And if that is you, then I welcome you into it. I welcome you into the glory that Jesus intends us to experience by following. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, Lord, I want to thank you this morning that we have an opportunity just to again glean from your word these parables, these truths, these ancient things, Lord, that are just still so pertinent to our life today. You are so faithful and good and kind and generous and patient and willing to endure our slowness to respond. But perhaps, Lord, even in this moment, you're touching our lives in a way that we didn't expect to be touched this morning. You're moving in a way, your Holy Spirit's moving in a way that we didn't expect to be moved this morning. And I just pray, Lord, for a response. God, that your kingdom of heaven would be advanced even just by a mustard seed this morning. God, would you reveal that work? Would you continue to cultivate this ground? And God, allow your kingdom of heaven to be honored and glorified in these smallest of ways. God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for that opportunity to respond this morning. And I pray right here and now you would meet us right where we are and let us respond to the kingdom of heaven together. And we pray that together in Jesus' name. And all the church said, amen. Let's